All right, y'all, welcome to the show. I am feeling good. I just had some Chick-fil-A, recharged the batteries, ready to go. So, a lot of stuff to talk about today. I'm going to lead in just a second here with Ilhan Omar, yet again, getting viciously tarred and smeared, saying something incredibly based and true, but it leading to a colossal backlash. We also have Ron DeSantis, Mr. Free Speech himself, suddenly is against free speech when it comes to the issue of Israel. Perhaps the least surprising thing you'll hear today, because all of these pro-free speech guys immediately collapse and flip on that when it comes to Israel. Later on, we have an evangelical preacher who absolutely went nuts on Trump. Kind of interesting, considering that this guy is very conservative in his own respect. And then Chrissy Noem murking her dog. And Russell Brand, randomly, becoming a born-again Christian. Okay, so we'll talk about all that and much more. You guys know the drill. Everybody do me a big favor and subscribe to the channel. That's below. Click that little subsies button. Trying to get to 10 million subs so we can add another plaque to this beautiful wall behind me. And yeah, let's dive into it. So I'm sure you guys remember the first big scandal, I'm putting that in air quotes, about Ilhan Omar. She came out, and I believe she said on Twitter, quote, "It's all about the Benjamins." And she was referring to AIPAC. Now, she was smeared as a result of that because people were insisting her point was, like, the Jews only care about money, or something like that, the classic old anti-Semitic trope. But again, she wasn't referring to Jews, she was referring to the Israel lobby, talking about AIPAC. So she was, in other words, 100% correct. AIPAC is colossally powerful. They spend millions and millions of dollars every single election season to get pro-Israel politicians elected. And then when those politicians get elected, they pass pro-Israel policies. They do the bidding of the Israel lobby that funded them. That's just called a fact. Now, people might not like it. They might be uncomfortable with it. That's too fucking bad. Facts are facts. And she's right about that. Now, people, of course, would then graduate to the argument, well, you never single out any other countries, lobbies, not true. She's also said similar things about Saudi Arabia and the Saudi lobby. Not only has she called for a boycott of Israel, she's also called for a boycott of Saudi Arabia. So all the arguments just fall one by one by one. She's right, her detractors are wrong, and they could suck her nuts, okay? So that was the first scandal. And ever since then, she's been tarred and smeared in the media as an anti-Semite. I think the thing that frustrates me the most about this is everybody knows that that's not true. Everybody knows what she meant when she said it's all about the Benjamins, talking about the Israel lobby. Again, she's just correct. Well, now we have another very, very similar scandal. So she showed up, I guess, to one of these college protests where you have pro-Palestine protesters out there at various colleges and universities. They're calling for the universities and colleges to divest from Israel and stop the financial entanglements. They're also calling to end the genocide and the ethnic cleansing in Gaza. So she goes there, and you have a local news station records her, and she says the following.
Do you think this will translate to the Jewish students who are facing anti-Semitism here on campus?
So I actually met a lot of Jewish students that are in the encampment, and I think it is really unfortunate that people don't care about the fact that all Jewish kids should be kept safe and that we should not have to tolerate anti-Semitism or bigotry for all Jewish students, whether they are pro-genocide or anti-genocide.
So her bad faith detractors seized on this, and they went in, okay? Here's what the head of the ADL, Jonathan Greenblatt, he said, "Watch this clip. It features Ilhan walking through Columbia proclaiming that Jewish students should not have to tolerate anti-Semitism, whether they're pro-genocide or anti-genocide. It is patently false and blood libel to suggest that any Jewish students are pro-genocide. It is gaslighting to impute that Jewish people are somehow at fault for being harassed and menaced with signs and slogans literally calling for their own extermination. It is abhorrent that a sitting member of Congress would slander an entire group of young people in such a cold, calculated manner. This is how people get killed. Ilhan must apologize. I'm not holding my breath." Wow. So Ilhan chimes in. She says, "This is the pro-genocide I was talking about. Can you condemn this like I have condemned anti-Semitism and bigotry of all kinds?" And she quotes, "Kill all Arabs. They are all Hamas, all grotesquely evil, and level Gaza." And she's got a link to the people who said this. And Her point is, look, I actually believe in free speech. I actually believe in it. There should be no bigotry or anti-Semitism or any authoritarian crackdown on anybody, whether they're saying, hey, protect Gaza and free Palestine, or if they're Zionist assholes like Jonathan Greenblatt, and they're out there saying genuinely deplorable things. She's saying even in that instance, they shouldn't face anti-Semitism and they shouldn't face a crackdown. That's what she's saying. By the way, a lot of people who heard her say this, they misinterpret what she was saying. They think she's saying that the students who are pro-genocide are on the Palestinian side and that they want the genocide of the Jews and that in that instance, they should still be protected. So they're twisting what she meant. What she meant was whether they're anti-genocide, as in they want to protect Gaza, or they're pro-genocide in that they want to bomb Gaza into oblivion. What she's saying is in both of those instances, these people should not face bigotry or an authoritarian crackdown. That's her. So in other words, the point she's making is almost like an olive branch to her fucking vicious, evil, smear merchant detractors. She's like, look, even for you assholes, I'm on the side of free speech. Even for you pricks, I'm on the side of free speech. But of course, it gets smeared. And then to Jonathan Greenblatt's point, the idea that, well, none of the pro-Israel students are pro-genocide. Fucking spare me, man. Spare me. Nobody's buying your bullshit anymore. In fact, I know I've showed you guys this a million times, but here are the numbers out of Gaza. 42,000, more than 42,000 dead Palestinians. Over 38,000 are civilians. Over 15,000 kids. Over 10,000 women. 2 million out of the 2.3 million people there are homeless. Fucking spare me with the idea, oh, bro, what are you talking about? They just want to defend themselves against Hamas. Oh, do they? Is that why you had to make 2 million Palestinians homeless? Is that why you had to shut off all the water and electricity and food and fuel? I mean, stop insulting our intelligence. We have 322 healthcare facilities that have been bombed, 445 schools. They've done controlled demolitions of all the schools in Gaza. And he has the nerve, you're being an anti-Semite by saying that the Zionists are pro-genocide. The Zionists are definitely pro-genocide. And by the way, as Ilhan pointed out, some of them at the top of Israel are basically saying it. They're saying it. Jesus Christ. Okay, so now I just want to read for you. I like this point here from Zed Jelani. I'm not sure this complaint carries the most weight after you went on television and said that the hundreds of thousands of student protesters out there are being controlled by Iran. I mean, why do you demand respect for your point of view, but denigrate others for theirs? And by the way, the idea, oh, all these protesters are controlled by Iran. We've heard that. We've heard from Hamas. We've heard from Hezbollah. We've heard from the Houthis. The big Houthi lobby is funding all these student protesters. If you were to make that same argument, but flip it and say all the Zionists out there are funded by Israel, they would say, oh, you're a massive anti-Semite. You're saying there's this massive cabal of Jews conspiring to get Zionist protesters in the streets. Anti-Semite. But he gets to say it about Iran controlling the student protesters. He gets to say it about Hezbollah or Hamas or the Houthis controlling the student protesters. Please, look, I'm begging the Zionists, at least try a little bit, right? At least hit us with something that we don't immediately slap the fuck down right away. Give me something that's a little bit intellectually stimulating in terms of disagreeing with us. They have nothing. They have nothing. What Ilhan Omar said is literally the classic pro-free speech position. I'm going to play it one more time.
Do you think this will translate to the Jewish students who are facing anti-Semitism here?
So I actually met a lot of Jewish students that are in the encampment, and I think it is really unfortunate that people don't care about the fact that all Jewish kids should be kept safe and that we should not have to tolerate anti-Semitism or bigotry for all Jewish students, whether they are pro-genocide or anti-genocide.
Classic free speech position. Classic. And guys like Jonathan Greenblatt, his whole fucking thing is to just smear, 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 smear. She said it's blood libel to say that any Jewish students are pro-genocide. The Zionists, there are some Zionists who are kind of openly on that side. And by the way, we covered the story yesterday of all of the classic examples of cry bully shit coming from the Zionist side. We covered this yesterday. Pro-Israel agitator shouts, kill the Jews, gets everyone else arrested. These are the people that Jonathan Greenblatt wants you to think are the victims. The ones who are agent provocateurs who infiltrate and try to make the pro-Palestinian students look bad. We showed you this video. This woman walking through one of the pro-Palestine protests with her dog, not at all threatened in any way, shape, or form, and she calls the cops on the pro-Palestine protesters. Here, I'll show you this. These are the sorts of people that Jonathan Greenblatt doesn't want you to criticize, and also these are the types of people he would defend. How dare you say the intentions aren't pure for the Zionists in these protests? Here, watch.
In harm's way. Nobody is going to hurt them. Nobody is going to attack them. This person is not in harm's way.
They are free to leave.
Nobody is going to hurt them. Nobody is going to attack them. This person is not in harm's way.
Yes, they're right in front of me right now. They're
She's calling the cops.
This person is not in harm's way.
I need funds, genocide. I need help. I know that, but they're all there surrounding me. They won't let me move.
No, no, you are free to move. You are free to move. She is free to move.
You are free to move.
And that goes on, where she plays the victim. We also have this. You guys saw this video. Pro-Israel protester tries to start a fight, calls someone the N-word, and then spits on them. Here, show you this one. Here he is, right here. And by the way, what Ilhan is saying is, even all these assholes have a right to free speech, and I'm going to defend them. That's what she's saying. And Jonathan Greenblatt still finds a way to tar her and smear her and act like she's the asshole. No, dude. You're the fucking asshole. You're the asshole. So Ron DeSantis, as all you guys know, made quite a name for himself by being the, who, me, bro? I'm the anti-woke guy, bro. I'm against wokeness. I'm against all these authoritarian leftists trying to control people and censor people and shut them down. This is his bread and butter. This is how he made his name. This is how he became popular in right-wing circles, took a stab at the presidency, but got destroyed by the bulldozer that is Donald Trump. Well, now, perhaps you're going to be unsurprised to learn, it seems like there's one issue where all of a sudden he's not so so pro-free speech, not so anti-authoritarian. Watch this.
You think about what happened when you have these Hamas demonstrators out. They're taking over bridges and they're taking over roads. And first of all, you don't have a right to do that. You have someone get stuck in traffic. How do you know if someone may need to get to a hospital? Someone may need to pick up a child somewhere and you're just going to commandeer the road, because you have this, this ideological prediction. They tried to do that in Miami. And what happened? In 10 minutes, they got dragged off the road where they belonged. And we're not going to tolerate that. You look at these universities. When we have students who are doing things that, I mean, look, some of the stuff with the Hamas, I think is absurd that someone would go out and demonstrate on that. But, you know, when you're chasing Jewish students around, when you're not letting a Jewish professor enter a building, when you're targeting people like that, that's not free speech. I mean, that's harassment. That violates appropriate conduct. And yet at Columbia, at Yale, all these places, those folks rule the roost. They do whatever they want. And these administrators and the presidents of these universities are weak. They're scared and they don't do anything. You know, you do that in Florida at our universities, we're showing you the door. You're going to be expelled when you're doing that stuff. And you know what? The minute people start to face consequences, you are not going to see this nonsense going on.
So if you are a pro-Palestine protester in Florida, we're just going to crack down. We're going to expel you. Suspend, expel. Whatever it is, there's going to be consequences, and then it's going to stop. Guys, all of these absolute losers and frauds just made a core part of their ideology, like a year or two ago. Free speech on college campuses. Greg Abbott in Texas signed a bill specifically protecting free speech on college campuses. And then what happened? In Austin, at the University of Texas, there was a pro-Palestine protest, perfectly peaceful, totally nonviolent, nothing wrong or bad happening. They sent in the cops wearing riot gear to crack skulls. They had at some of these protests, they were arresting professors. They arrested the head of the philosophy department at one of these protests. You guys are all getting your wish. I don't know what you're bitching and moaning about. The cops are being sent in. Skulls are being cracked. People are getting locked up. There was the example of a Zionist says, kill the Jews, then blames the pro-Palestine protesters, and 100 pro-Palestine protesters got locked up. All you guys are getting your way. You're getting the police state authoritarian crackdown. You're getting the censorship that you want, and you still have the nerve to go out there and say, we need to crack down more. This is unacceptable. This is what... And by the way, what's the... Tale as old as time. The oldest trick in the book is what? What he just did right there. So you point to the most extreme examples and define the whole group based on that. He said something like, they're chasing Jews and what? Trying to do violence or something? First of all, I haven't seen any stories of that. So massive asterisk there. But second of all, if there was an instance like that, that's bad, that's wrong, that one person is a criminal. But that doesn't mean you can crack down on 500 fucking protesters who are perfectly peaceful. Which is exactly what he wants to do. And then he used the Tom Cotton argument, right? Oh my God, these people who are blocking traffic, throw them overboard. Or as Tom Cotton said, you know, rip their skin off. You know, there's another way that you could stop people from blocking bridges, blocking traffic, trying to shut down airports. There's a very simple and straightforward way. Stop arming and funding Israel. I mean, you should already do that anyway, since they've killed over 40,000 Palestinians and are carpet bombing everything in sight. You should already do that, regardless of the fact that there's protests. But that'll make it stop. I love this. It reminds me of when the Houthis started doing their thing, seizing ships that were going to Israel, trying to trade with Israel. The Houthis seized a bunch of those, and everybody turned into a professional fucking moron in reaction to that.
Well, Drew, how can we get them to stop? I mean, should we start another war? Should we start bombing them? Should we deploy our weapons? How do we get them to stop?
They're literally telling you, if you stop the genocide in Gaza, we'll stop. How do we know that that's true? Because when there was a temporary ceasefire, boom, the Houthis wrapped it up. No more of that shit. So DeSantis cracking down on protesters instead of hearing them out, like just like we said with the Houthis, their whole thing was stop arming and funding Israel, and then we'll stop being pirates. Didn't matter. They'd rather just bomb them rather than listen to them. In this instance, instead of just having the universities divest from Israel, supporting not arming Israel anymore, they'd rather go full authoritarian, crack down on them, take away their rights. And everybody's being exposed. This is one of those moments where everybody who was on the so-called pro-free speech right being completely and utterly exposed and showing that they were never in agreement with free speech. I mean, the bottom line is, you can easily imagine a situation where these protesters are right-wing protesters, and there's no way they'd be saying, hey, send the cops in, send the National Guard in, suspend them from school, expel them from school. It is inconceivable that that would happen, and I think everybody knows it. All right, guys, so as we get closer to the election, you have a lot of the media outlets going to Trump rallies, and look, man, the best way to make somebody not be a Trump supporter is to put the microphone in front of the faces of Trump's most hardcore supporters. It's pretty straightforward. So Donny O'Sullivan here of CNN went to a MAGA rally, and this exchange that you're about to see is wild.
This week's all-new episode of The Whole Story with Anderson Cooper, CNN's Donny O'Sullivan looks at how conspiracy theories and online misinformation are already impacting this year's presidential campaign. It all airs Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific on CNN. Of course, here's a preview.
The job of the journalist is to ask the questions, allow the person to speak, and just report the facts, what was spoken. Would you like for me to pull up the definition of journalist?
That's okay, but thank you, Julia.
Okay. I have a God-given right to speak my own truth.
But there are facts, right?
The facts have shown that the election was stolen.
I love how she starts out by saying, you guys need to just report the facts. And then she goes on to say, I have a right to report my truth. Run away from anybody who says that. Like, this is my truth. There is not any Kyle's truth, Bob's truth, Susan's truth. That's not a thing. There's only the truth, right? And she starts out by saying you should only report the facts. And then that becomes, well, the facts are basically whatever I want them to be, right? Whatever my truth is. The election was stolen. Okay.
Look at that and accept that and really show what's going on. That's your issue, not ours. We want the God-given freedom that our Constitution and our Bill of Rights is based on.
God-given constitutional rights.
Yes.
They're two different things, right?
No, sir, they're not. Read, R-E-A-D, the Constitution. Read it out loud to yourself so that you hear what the words of the Constitution say.
God isn't mentioned in the Constitution.
Sir.
Oh, man. If she was about to look that up, she was about to get a rude awakening. God's not mentioned in the Constitution, proceeds to look it up and find out he is 100% correct. God is not mentioned. Christianity is not mentioned. Jesus is not mentioned. Whatever sort of holy terms you can try to come up with, it ain't in there, man. It ain't in there. In fact, the phrase separation of church and state was in a letter written by one of the founding fathers. Right? The whole idea is you cannot establish a religion in this country. There is no state religion. So that's where we get the idea of a separation between church and state. Look, I almost don't want to go too hard on somebody like this because it's like shooting fish in a barrel, right? Like, it's just a brainwashed person. I'm sure she's drunk on Fox News or Newsmax or One America News Network. She obviously loves Trump with a massive burning passion, and she's just working backwards from that, right? And here's why it's a shame to me. You're taking all of this, like, anti-establishment anger, and it's just being redirected into supporting the establishment, because Trump represents the establishment. He's a billionaire. He was the president of the United States. He served that deep state that everybody pretends like, you know, they're his mortal enemy. He serves them. He serves corporations. He serves billionaires. He does tax cuts for the rich. He does deregulation. He is the establishment's wet dream. And you can sense that this woman's like, she can't wait to call bullshit on the system. And so there's a real, like, anger underneath that, but it's just pointed in the wrong direction. It should be people like this who get their anger harnessed in the proper direction and support policies that help working families and regular people. But instead, you know, a mix of the brainwashing and loving Trump, maybe she also has a rough personal situation, I don't know. All that stuff, it was a toxic brew that made her populist anger become raging in favor of the machine, right? Like, that's ultimately what happened. And it's sad, man. And then you get moments like this where it's like, if you don't even know that God's not mentioned in the Constitution, like, what am I supposed to do with that? What am I supposed to do with that? So part of me wants to go, you know, soft on her, but then the other part of me is like, if you don't know what you're talking about, please just stop talking, right? Just, like, get a different hobby. Politics is not for you. You find fucking some sport you like to play or knit or crochet or some shit where the stakes aren't as high when you talk about these things. She was literally stunned silent when he said, that's God's not in the Constitution. It's like so basic. This stuff is so basic. And also, by the way, the people who like virtue signal like they love the Constitution and then they support Trump. Trump shits all over the Constitution on a daily basis. Trump's the guy who signed a pro-torture executive order in direct violation of the Eighth Amendment of the Constitution, which is protection from cruel and unusual punishment. Okay? Spare me. This is the guy, all these people, First Amendment is, you know, the most crucial part of the Constitution. What did Trump do as president? He said we should lock people up in jail for a year if they burn the American flag. Well, that's protected speech. That's free speech. The Supreme Court already ruled on it. This is the whole point of why the Constitution exists, to protect freedoms, even in fringe instances, like if somebody burns a flag. He wanted to crack down on that. He sued Bill Maher over a joke. You're telling me this guy believes in free speech? He sued CNN for hundreds of millions of dollars because he didn't like the stories they were reporting about him. You think this guy believes in free speech? He said we should open up the libel laws so we can sue people over speech more freely. He doesn't believe in free speech. I mean, fuck. Don't get me started. Anyway. Man. So like I said, look, the best way to turn somebody off from Trump is to put the mic in front of a Trump supporter's face and let him go. And then you get moments like this. And all you got to do is look at them and say, is this
You want these to be your bedfellows, man? Is this the team you want to sign up for? They're not sending their best. All right, this right here is interesting, man. So here we have an evangelical preacher who is conservative, but man, oh man, does he turn on Trump. So the thing that was apparently the straw that broke the camel's back is the Trump Bibles that Trump now has. Bibles that he's hawking. Okay, so let's dive in and we'll break it down.
When you don't read and pray, you say, wow, there's a Bible out now that includes the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Isn't that wonderful? No. No, it's disgusting. It's blasphemous. It's a ploy. Are you kidding me? Some of you are so encouraged by that. Let me tell you something. The gospel is not an American gospel. It is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Pastor, I bought the Bible. Really? You're telling me that you're encouraged because someone took a government, U.S. Constitution, a document that says we are of the people, by the people, and for the people. The people, the people, the people. And you have put it right beside the Word of God, which is eternal, unchanging, which says, of Him, by Him, through Him, to Him, from Him are all things. And you're going to put those together and be happy about it? God forbid. Now, you can get mad if you want to, but I'm going to tell you something. If you glory in that kind of thing, you don't have a prayer life. If you glory in that kind of mess, political mess, you do not know what the Word of God says.
My takeaway from this is very simple. He's laying it all out there. He's saying, I'm against the whole by the people, you know, for the people stuff. And I'm in favor of the of Him, by Him, through Him, for Him, like the godly stuff. It's like, she's basically like, fuck the people. I don't give a fuck about the people. I don't care about the Bill of Rights. I don't care about the Constitution. I care about the Bible. Look, in his defense, you would imagine this is what, like, a real Christian would be about, right? Like, this is what a real Christian would say. That if you have some sort of a contradiction between the secular documents that created this country and the Founding Fathers versus the Lord our God, obviously you side with God, or you're a fake, you're a phony. That's what he's saying. Hey, to put them together is blasphemous. You're dragging down the word of the Lord by bringing in the word of the people. I'm not interested in the fucking people. I'm interested in God. This is what he's saying. So, okay, look, props for honesty. Props for honesty. But also, you did kind of admit you don't give a fuck about the founding documents, right? Look, I think at the core of it, he feels like Trump is grifting by releasing the Trump Bible. That's the Trump Bible, where they put together the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and the Bible. Which, again, by the way, the whole point of the Constitution is that the country's secular. It's got nothing to do with God or Jesus or Christianity. And they, of course, fucking right out the window with that. They just mash it together because so we can virtue signal as being like the most American by saying the most American is the most Christian. But I think he accurately feels like, hey, Trump is just grifting off this. And I'm against that. And I'm a godly man. And this is some fake godly shit. But I will also say, like, really, dude? This was the thing that finally made you turn on Trump? Like, man, these people are something else, man. They're really something else. It wasn't like the 48 affairs with the porn stars. It wasn't the drone strikes in the Middle East being increased by over 400%, killing innocent people left and right. It wasn't ripping up the Iran agreement, which was a peaceful agreement, which led to Iran not getting any nukes and us, you know, easing the sanctions on them. Like, it wasn't trying to coup Venezuela. It wasn't keeping us in Iraq and Afghanistan. It wasn't cutting the various social safety net programs that people were relying on. It wasn't the kicking millions of people off of healthcare. Like, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? This is the thing. Of all the things, this is the thing. How dare you put together the Bible and the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution? That's disgusting. The thing, they're so finicky.
the things that they will actually turn on him for. It's like this, this doesn't even crack the list of the top like 800 things, bro, that he does that are astonishing. And by the way, of course, deeply unchristian, right? What about, remember when they were chanting, hang Mike Pence as vice president, and he was like, maybe they're right. Maybe they're right. Maybe you should kill my vice president because he wouldn't do a coup for me. That's not like a little higher on the list, all the January 6th bullshit and the fake electors scheme and the wanton corruption where he took $100 million from Sheldon Adelson on two separate occasions and then allowed Sheldon Adelson, basically did his foreign policy with Israel and moved the embassy to Jerusalem and did the Abraham Accords and said, fuck you to Palestinians. Like, none of that stuff even fucking registers for these people. None of it. None of it registers. But what does register? Oh my God. You've tarnished the word of our Lord by putting the word of the founding fathers with it. How could you? I'm surprised that the audience was cheering, though, because low-key, they all definitely love Trump more than they love him. Next week, he's going to have half the people at the service because he's going to be like, wait a second, was he going after Trump? Nah, son. Nah, son. He really did crack. Trump cracked the code of evangelical fundamentalists where he realized that it has now more become a cult of Republican politics than it is the religion of Christianity. And so that's why most of them follow him. Like, that's the highest demographic of support for Trump is evangelical fundamentalist Christians. And so this guy's, I don't know, man, this guy's sort of taking on a fight. He's punching above his weight here. He's taking on a fight I don't think he can win. Oh, yeah, here we go. This is the story everybody was talking about. Guys, the number one pick for Trump's VP may have just killed her chances. May have just, ruined it. Now, by the way, I've been screaming for a year now. This is the one. She's the one who's going to get picked. Of course, I'm talking about Governor Kristi Noem, who's the governor of South Dakota. The reason why I was convinced she's the pick, she's attractive, she's loyal, and she would never question Trump in any way, shape, or form. And she's uncharismatic, which he wants because he doesn't want a VP who could outshine him, somebody like Carrie Lake. So, I mean, she checked all the boxes. The other thing is, she had an affair with Corey Lewandowski, who's one of Trump's right-hand men. So she's down with the crew, right? Like, she's with the crew. Oh, perfect. It was perfect. She checked every box. But now, look at this. Kristi Noem's vice presidential odds crash after she admitted killing her dog in a pit while her kids were at school. Wow. So now she only has a 4% chance in the betting market of being Trump's VP, when before she was way higher than that. After South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem admitted killing her dog at a family goat in her new book, her chances of becoming Trump's vice president have completely crashed, according to an online betting market. On Polymarket, where gamblers can bet on just about anything under the sun, Noem self-admitted shooting of her 14-month-old wire hair pointer puppy has tanked her odds of being Trump's VP to just 4%, way down from the 10% chance she had just this Thursday. Damn, son. 14-month-old dog. That's like a baby dog, bro. She murked a baby dog. Bettors think South Carolina Senator Tim Scott has the best shot, 22% chance, at becoming Trump's new right-hand man, while New York Congresswoman Elise Stefanik and Ohio Senator J.D. Vance, long considered potential favorites for the VP's slot, are sitting at 9% and 6%, respectively. Look, I think it's going to be a woman, so it's probably Elise Stefanik now is the front runner, but still a chance he picks Kristi Noem, but she definitely hurt her chances here. No doubt about that. Here are the odds. Let me show you this. Tim Scott, 22%. Elise Stefanik, 9%. She's number two. Vance, 6%. Haley, 6%. Ben Carson, 5%. Haley, 6%. What? Ben Carson, 5%. Marco Rubio, 5%. Kristi Noem, 4%. So yeah, look, she tells a story, and basically the summed up version of it is like, the fucking dog was annoying, bro. The dog was annoying. The dog was like uncontrollable and untrainable. So I took him to the gravel pit and I fucking murked him. If I had to craft one story that would equally piss off conservative America and liberal America, this is it right here. Everybody's going to have the same reaction. What the fuck? If you have a problem with the dog and you can't train him and he's causing all sorts of problems, it's called go give him to your friends, right? Give him a new family. Don't fucking take him to the yard and murk him. And why the fuck did you kill the goat? Random goat that you're killing too? What the fuck? And the fact that she wrote about it on some shit that's like, yeah, I'm going to tell you a story that all you guys are going to relate to. Bitch, what? Nobody fucking relates to that. Everybody's looking at you horrified right now. Like, yo, what is wrong with you? So, look, I've been saying it for a long time. I thought she was the pick. Now even I'm waffling on it. I think Elise Stefanik's probably number one. The other thing is they're saying Doug Burgum now. You guys remember Doug Burgum? The guy who's most known for getting absolutely obliterated by Crystal and Sagar on Breaking Points. He looks like a fucking wax statue. Goes in there, regurgitates his talking points. Trump actually likes him because he's no drama. He's no drama. He's been a big defender of him since he left the race. So I don't know. I still think it's going to be a woman. I think he knows he's struggling with suburban women in particular. He's trying to shore up that base, so he's trying to pick a woman. Carrie Lake is too charismatic, and she's a loser. He doesn't like that. Elise Stefanik, he does like. She's got a real good chance. And Chrissy Noem was the one. I mean, she checked every single fucking box. But now? And the other thing is, here's a devastating fact. She handled it as bad as possible since this news came out. Like, she kind of released a statement, almost like semi-apologizing, but also doubling down at the same time. And it's like, crisis management 101 is if you're in some shit, let it pass, right? Like, just let it. It'll die off. Nobody really gives that much of a fuck about you. People will be outraged for a day or two, and then everybody moves on, right? And in 2 months, nobody even fucking remembers the story. She made it as bad as possible. She, like, waited 2 or 3 days, then released a statement, breathed new air into it. People were like, what the fuck? Fuck you. Everybody's like, fuck you to her reaction. She's a dead-eyed sociopath, bro. Dead-eyed. So you're going to kill a 14-month-old dog? It doesn't matter. With a 14-month-old dog, that's like a little baby. If they're having some, you know, behavioral problems, okay, go get a trainer or go give it to a friend, right? Goddamn. To be fair, Trump also hates animals, so he might be like, I agree. Kill the puppies. Puppy genocide. Let's do a puppy genocide. So I don't know. We'll see. But this didn't go too well for her. All right. So Russell Brand has been going through it lately. I'm sure you guys all saw that there was a big, I don't know if it was a, I think it was a documentary. Yeah, I think it was a documentary. Or was it like a long article or something? I didn't look at the specifics, but I know that he was basically accused of all different kinds of sexual impropriety. And apparently there was a number of women who came out and made these claims. Now, Russell, you know, he's perhaps most well known for his time in Hollywood and in like the MTV sphere, where he was this like wacky celebrity bro who was known for being, oh, but you're so unhinged, you're so edgy, bro. Everybody remembers what he was like years and years ago, or at least, I don't know. You guys, some of you guys might be too young to remember, but so he kind of openly was living like a very hedonistic lifestyle, and there was a period where he was a drug addict, and then he kind of reformed himself and came out as like, he was kind of like this lefty pundit for a while, and then, you know, slowly but surely, he sort of made a little bit of a transition to being more, how would I describe it? I don't know if it's fair to just call it right wing. It's like a very particular Russell Brand variety of thing. It's like basically like a conspiracy theorist mixed with edginess, mixed with flirting with the right. Like, it's a very weird, bizarre mix of things, right? Well, anyway, after that, you know, the whole thing dropped where there were all these accusations against him. He responded in a, you know, a very like Trumpian way, basically like it's a concerted effort to take down the voice of the truth teller, and that's why they're coming after me and stuff like that, right? Well, now Crystal brought this to my attention. Here's what he tweeted the other day, and I'll play the video for you. Baptism. This Sunday, I'm taking the plunge. How was it for you? And he says the following.
This Sunday, I'm taking the plunge. I'm getting baptized. At the moment, I'm very curious as to what you who have been baptized feel about it, what your expectations are of the event prior, and what it's actually like. What's been explained to me is it's an opportunity to die and be reborn, an opportunity to leave the past behind and be reborn in Christ's name, like it says in Galatians, that you can live as an enlightened and awakened person. Sometimes I think of non-Christian perspectives on it, like Marcus Aurelius saying, you are already dead, now live the rest of your life properly. Or the Buddhist saying, put down the corpse. All of these things seem so inviting and beautiful. I know a lot of people are sort of cynical about the increasing interest in Christianity and the return to God. But to me, it's obvious as meaning deteriorates in the modern world, as our value systems and institutions crumble, all of us become increasingly aware that there is this eerily familiar awakening and beckoning figure that we've all known all of our lives within us and around us. And for me, it's very exciting. One of my concerns is I'm thinking about doing it in the River Thames. So I could be getting sort of baptized in toxoplasmosis and E. coli based on what I've learned. So I may be leaving behind the sins, but I might be picking up some pretty serious viruses. Let me know what you guys think about it and how you feel about it.
Okay. So read some of the replies here. Welcome to the family. Charlie Kirk sends some like praying hand emojis. Glenn Beck, by the way, was the one who said, welcome to the family. Isn't he a Mormon? I think Glenn Beck is a Mormon. Not sure why he's saying welcome to the family. Christianity and Mormonism are definitely different, right? Pay close attention to what Russell Brand is saying. He's not choosing baptism because he sees Jesus as the only begotten Son of God or the exclusive path to salvation. Instead, he views Jesus as just one possible way among many. But baptism isn't about seeking enlightenment or indulging spiritual curiosity or one of many ways to be reborn. It's a profound declaration of dying to oneself. It's about confessing your inherent sinfulness, repenting before the Lord, blah, blah, blah. So basically, this guy's like, okay, so you're becoming Christian, but you ain't Christian enough, bitch. That's basically what this guy's saying. Because it is true that Russell Brand, ever since, post his, like, wild Hollywood stuff, He was like very hardcore materialist, hedonistic back then. Then he became like this, you know, I'm spiritual. That's what I am. I believe in spiritual things. Like that was his whole shtick. But now it looks like he's becoming a born again Christian, I guess. I never thought in all my days that you, Russell Brand, could make me cry. They are tears of joy. Oh my God. I am so happy for you, brother. This will be a life changing experience. Jesus Christ is very real and very much alive. Kevin Sorbo, the weirdo who played Hercules and now is like some right-wing freak. Russell, I have some wonderful movies I would love to send you. Get in touch with me. That's the only way this guy can get him to watch any of his movies now. I don't know, man. I'm going to ask you guys. Seems kind of opportunistic to do this at this moment, right? Like, basically, it was the nail in the coffin for, like, his left-wing fandom when all the accusations dropped against him, right? You got the sense that everybody in the left was like, okay, because he had been flirting with the right for quite a while. Then this happens. Then he comes out and does the, you know, I'm being persecuted shtick. And you get the sense that anybody who was like a left-wing fan who was hanging on at the time was just like, no. And now for him to do, I'm actually a born-again Christian. I mean, look, I can't help but point out, it's kind of weird how it lines up. It feels like, you know, ever since that moment, you've leaned even more into, well, fuck it. I'm going to be like a right-wing anti-establishment crusader. And now you're becoming a born-again Christian? That sort of fits with the whole mold of the people that you're trying to appeal to at the moment, right? So I'll ask the question. You guys can answer it. Post it in the comment section below. Is it just a rank, you know, opportunistic, let me posture for, you know, my future relevance in this commentating sphere? Is that what it is? Like, I see how my bread is buttered now. I see who butters my bread. I'm gonna go in that direction because I want, hey, instead of being like the guy who was the spiritual lefty defending right-wing talking points, now I'm gonna just say, hey, I'm one of you. I'm a born-again Christian. And it'd be interesting to see how he describes himself now politically, because I know I've certainly seen the change in him, and I know many of you probably have. There was a time I defended, a Daily Beast article or something that came after Russell Brand. They were basically calling him a right-winger and a conspiracy theorist, but this was like a long time ago, and I wasn't convinced of that yet. But now, I gotta be honest with y'all, in retrospect, I feel pretty fucking dumb having defended him in that moment, right? Because the trajectory was kind of clear. And then now it looks like we've come full circle and he's doing the whole, I'm a born again Christian now. I mean, look, I'm struggling to determine how much of an asshole I should be right now. How much of an asshole should I be, y'all? I'll say this. I'm an open-minded dude, right? Different people believe different things. They're raised in different cultures and different contexts, and there's a variety of flavor of kind of ideologies and ethoses and, you know, whatever that people live their life by, religious creeds, etc. And like, okay, I see it. There are some people who, if you're raised in the context of being a Christian and that's all you've ever known, you might just consider yourself, yeah, I'm a Christian, in the same way that you would say, like, yeah, I'm an American. I was born in America. I'm an American. Yeah, I'm a Christian. I was raised by Christians. I went to church when I was a kid. Yeah, I'm a Christian, I guess, right? That's one thing. To me, it's a whole nother thing. If you're a grown-ass man or woman, and instead of, like, saying, hey, I'm not with this religious group that believes all sorts of things that are not true, right? You're saying, no, I'm going to join that group. I'm actively deciding as a grown-ass person with a fully functioning brain, I'm with them. I've liked the thing about the Trinity and the zombie, and he's three guys, but he's one guy, and he's a carpenter, and he's a pacifist, but he's also a god, and he made everything. I'm actively signing up to be... We're getting a little silly here, y'all. We're getting a little silly. It's almost like, I pointed this out to two of you guys. It's one thing, if over the years, your political views grow, they evolve, you change your mind. Over the course of however many years, you change your mind on 2, 3 issues, maybe 4, right? Learn some more information, changes your perspective, etc. I'm skeptical of a grown-ass man or woman who, on a dime, is like, I was with this political faction, now I'm on all 48 political issues. I've now flipped my belief on every one of those, and now I'm over here. I look at that, and I'm like, this looks cynical to me, right? This looks cynical. It looks like you're signing up for a worldview the same way that somebody would pick a fucking ice cream when they go to the ice cream store. Yeah, I don't know. Give me the mint chocolate chip. I'll take that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not, it doesn't look organic, you know? It doesn't look natural. It looks like it's some shit. It's an active decision. Yeah, I'm going to choose to sign up with this bullshit instead of that bullshit. And in 4 years, when this isn't opportunistic anymore, I'll sign up with some other bullshit. Whatever's the hot bullshit at that moment, right? And that's kind of what this feels like to me. So is it sincere? Is it legitimate? Or is he just angling, right? Is this just angling for the future, for his media stuff? I don't know. I'll let you guys answer that question. Final point I'll make is he brings up there some of the, oh yeah, the revival of Christianity is getting popular again because people see that our institutions are crumbling and meaning has deteriorated. And it's like, that's not an excuse to sign up to some ancient bullshit that we know is wrong. Right? It's not like, you know, hey, I've been struggling in life and I see everything around me is not working out. So I read the Bhagavad Gita and now I'm down with every word of that. Like, what? That's, what a ridiculous way to, like, if our institutions are crumbling, okay, let's find the ones that need fixing and fix them. If meaning is deteriorating, okay, let's find a way to craft meaning and bring about meaning, but do it in a way that is purposeful and intelligent and intellectual and nuanced. Not like I'm gonna go sign up with this, you know, 1,000-year-old cult that we know believes things that are insane because, I don't know, I guess if things are going bad, that's what you do, right? You sign up with a gang. You go with this fucking weird cartel over here. Like, come on, man. We're all adults. We're all adults. There's ways to create meaning and purpose short of signing up with a giant cult. And then, by the way, politically, what do born-again Christians typically stand for? Well, it ain't that pretty, right? It ain't that pretty. Funny enough, that message of, like, love and acceptance and pacifism of Jesus doesn't seem to make it through to all the born-again Christians. It seems almost quite the opposite, almost like they're devotees of fucking conservative Republican politics. Very bizarre how that works, isn't it? So anyway, Russell Brand, born again Christian. I think I'm gonna do some sort of a media arc, right? I'm gonna do some, bro, 36. I've been through a lot. I decided Scientology. Me and Tom Cruise are gonna go hang out. We're gonna do some Scientologist stuff. They're gonna take my reading on the meter thingy. And yeah, that's my answer. Scientology. Like, come on, come on. Come on. Anyway, I'll leave it to y'all from here. All right, guys. So Tim Pool is Tim Pooling quite a bit these days. So his whole thing, you guys know this, every single conservative-leaning commentator for the past however many years, but oh my God, wokeness, 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 bad, bad, bad. It's that and like, free speech, bro, free, free speech, bro, free speech, bro, free speech, bro. I'm all about free speech and stuff, bro. Their whole identity, all of their commentary was around those two things. Wokeness bad, free speech good. And, you know, find a way to do 7,412 stories where you highlight those things. Well, in a similar fashion to the various politicians who have flipped on the notion of free speech, because we have pro-Palestine students on campuses protesting, it looks like Tim Pool has hopped on that bandwagon and is having quite a bit of fun, completely reversing everything he said he stands for. So here we go.
Trying to get you banned.
Yep.
And I'd be like, wait, wait, I just helped you, and you immediately turned on me. And for me, there was a formative moment where I met a an activist that I had known for a long time, Occupy Wall Street. And he was a free speech guy, an internet guy. And then I was talking to him, and he's a hardcore leftist right now, commie. And he was like, I love the censorship. I'm glad it's happening. This is a great move in the right direction. And I was like, what are you talking about? I was like, you're the guy who was leading the charge on free speech. And he laughed, and he's like, yeah, for me. And then I was like, so those of us who actually believed in the idea of people spreading being free speech, you never agree with us. And he chuckled, and he was just like, you guys are useful idiots. Yeah. We were demanding the right to say the things we wanted to say, and you marched alongside us. And now that we have that power, we will shut you up.
Yeah.
And I was just like, wow. He said it to my face, a guy I've known for a long time.
So it sounds like he's saying, like, this guy's a hypocrite, bro. He never even believed in free speech. That's disgusting. I believe in free speech. Wait for it. He's going to steer it right into a ditch.
My idea then became, okay, if you don't agree with free speech, I don't give it to you. If someone comes to me and says, I believe in free speech for everybody, you know, even if I don't agree with them, I'll say, okay, then when you get censored, I will stand with you if you stand with me. The leftists say, we don't believe in free speech. And I say, okay, then I won't defend you. You get what you ask for. Now we have these people who want violence and don't want people on the right to be able to protest. They want the universities to fund their psychotic ideologies. And I'm like, should we bestow upon them the rules they have asked for, which would be if a bunch of Trump supporters show up on campus to protest, they would demand these people are cracked over the head with a truncheon. Should we then be like, okay, well, then Greg Abbott should arrest and remove the protesters trying to take over campus. And these people at Columbia should be removed because it's what they literally ask for in governance.
That's an amazing video. That's an amazing video. In other words, hey, some people are total hypocrites and don't believe in what they say. Therefore, I'm going to go ahead and do the same thing. What are you going to do? So his whole position is based on what your position is. That's his position. Hey, you were a hypocrite on this. So now I will also, in turn, be an equal and opposite hypocrite. Okay, this is political brain worms or brain rot, whichever one you want to call it. That's what this is. This is political brain worms / brain rot. Because, okay, it shouldn't fucking matter what anybody else says or does if you're navigating these waters honestly. If you are honestly engaging with the political landscape, it doesn't fucking matter what anybody says or what they do or if they're a hypocrite or if they're wrong or what their position is. It's irrelevant. So, for example, I've always actually been a defender of free speech. And so I went out there and made the argument, and probably plenty of people in my audience disagreed with me at the time. I think you should let Ann Coulter speak at this college. I think you should let Ben Shapiro speak at that college. Even Milo Yiannopoulos, who, by the way, is purely a fucking provocateur, and he's trying to get a big reaction, and he's trying to be an asshole on purpose so that there's a backlash and scandal around it, and his name gets bigger. That's what he was like. Even him, I was like, just let him fucking talk. Just let him talk. Because I actually believe in free speech. I'm not concerned that if Steven Crowder goes and talks at a college, oh my God, everybody's going to immediately turn into a conservative Republican. I don't give a fuck. It's easy to rebut his ideas. Let him talk, let the chips fall where they may, and then we move on from there. But the difference is, I'm actually consistent. So when it comes to pro-Palestine protesters, yeah, you bet your ass cheeks I'm going to be out there saying, of course they have a right to speak. Who are we kidding? In that instance, not only do I think they have a right in principle to speak, I also agree with them on the substance that all of these colleges and universities should divest with Israel, that the U.S. should stop arming and funding Israel as they do an ethnic cleansing and a genocide right in front of our fucking eyes, carpet bombing children. So look at this. Look at this instance. Now, here we are. You have college kids who are angered, who are outraged that our money is going to carpet bomb toddlers, and they go out there to try to stop it. And he's like, no, I actually don't think these people should have free speech rights. Tim, aren't you the guy who, like, every other day pretends like you're massively anti-war? Well, here you go. Here's a massively anti-war protest, and all of a sudden, you're not even saying, I disagree with them, but I'll defend them in principle to do the speech. You're saying, haha, since they might not individually want free speech, now I think it's okay for me to ban their speech. By the way, you can play this game until the cows come home. It's fucking stupid, right? You can find plenty of right-wingers who believe in free speech, and a lot of them who don't at all believe in free speech. You can find left-wingers who don't believe in free speech, and you can find left-wingers who absolutely believe in free speech. Why should your fucking standard on what's the correct way to react change based on who's the person in question? So anyway, y'all, that's the show. I love y'all very much. You know the drill. Everybody subscribe to the channel, all that fun stuff. You can support the show on Patreon below, or you could tip with the thanks button on YouTube below as well. And that's all I got for you. Everybody have a great rest of your day, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. Peace.